We feel so blessed that you've joined us at Cultivating Hearts Radio Ministry. And we are back in the studio and we're discussing Acts 2, 29 through 44. We're going to continue on. And I'm just going to hand it to you, Tara, after that introduction.
How about pass? That's awesome. We've been going through Acts 2 and just the beauty of what's happened at Pentecost. And now what we're going to do is we're finishing up. I honestly did not come in thinking we were going to make it past verse 13. And now here we are at 29 through 41. So God's
that
got something.
That doesn't happen very often.
No. And God's at work and he's going to do something. So we're ready to see what he's going to do. So if we could have the verses 29 through 41 read. Hosanna. They both were looking at me like, she didn't tell us who was going to do this.
And I wasn't even looking.
Verse 29, it says, "Brothers, I can tell you confidently that the patriarch David died and was buried, and his tomb is here to this day. But he was a prophet and knew that God had promised him on oath that he would place one of his descendants on his throne. Seeing what was ahead, he spoke of the resurrection of the Christ, that he was not abandoned to the grave, nor did his body see decay. God has raised this Jesus to life, and we are all witnesses of the fact. Exalted to the right hand of God, he received from the Father the promised Holy Spirit and has poured out what you now see and hear. For David did not ascend to heaven, and yet he said, 'The Lord said to my Lord, sit at my right hand until I make your enemies a footstool for your feet.' Therefore, let all Israel be assured of this: God has made this Jesus, whom you crucified, both Lord and Christ." When the people heard this, they were cut to the heart and said to Peter and the other apostles, "Brothers, what should we do?" Peter replied, "Repent and be baptized, every one of you, in the name of Jesus Christ, for the forgiveness of your sins, and you will receive the gift of the Holy Spirit. The promise is for you and for your children and for all who are far off, for all whom the Lord our God will call." With many other words, he warned them and pleaded with them, "Save yourselves from this corrupt generation." Those who accepted his message were baptized. About 3,000 were added to their number that day. What a sermon right there. Mm-hmm. Anyway, actually the Holy Spirit, if we're honest. All right, continuing verse 42, it says, "They devoted themselves to the apostles' teaching and to the fellowship, to the breaking of bread and to prayer. Everyone was filled with awe, and many wonders and miraculous signs were done by the apostles. All the believers were together and had everything in common. Selling their possessions and goods, they gave to anyone as he had need. Every day they continued to meet together in the temple courts. They broke bread in their homes and ate together with glad and sincere hearts, praising God and rejoicing in the favor of all the people. And the Lord added to their number daily those who were being saved."
Amen.
Daily.
Such a beautiful passage. All right, so we have gone through, and he's affirming through David's life and how that speaks. What we have to recognize is he is letting the nation of Israel know, like, God's made himself clear to you, and now he's making it clear to everyone else. And the people there are being so convicted, they cry out, "What must we do?" And that's just the power of God's word when his word is spoken, that the people can't help but want to respond. And even though there were the group that had said, "Oh, they must be drunk," here now we see that the movement is happening with everyone. And they're now having the convincing. And so what did he tell them they must do?
Repent. Be baptized.
Be baptized. Okay, what is repentance?
Turning away from it. Turning back, turning away.
Turning away from our sin, which sin would be anything that we do against
the word.
The word of God, what would be against to another person as a reflection that we're breaking what God has for us, okay? And anything that would separate us in our relationship with God. And he's telling them, you need to repent. And what we have to understand is John the Baptist's ministry, it was repent and, you know, have the fruit of repentance in you. Jesus begins by telling them, repent, for the kingdom of heaven is here. And so John's telling them, you know, have the fruit of repentance in you. Jesus tells them, repent, because the kingdom of heaven is here. Peter is summing it up and saying, you need to repent. And the proof that you're showing that repentance is happiness, then you're going to show people by being baptized. Mm-hmm. And the baptism isn't what saves. The baptism is just showing people what has already taken place. And do you see how that repentance is carried through the
it's
different?
It's a theme.
Mm-hmm. Yeah.
And it's in the name of Jesus Christ.
Right.
That's important, not just... Well, I won't go there.
But it's all about Jesus. In John, it's preparing for Jesus.
Completely. Yeah. And 100%. It has to be where we are focused on allowing the Spirit of God and His righteousness to be made known in us, which is so good. When I wrote this out with the Tell It Well series, I went and pulled this because I liked this particular section. I had like a poem I wrote and a little summary that I wrote out. So I wrote this, and it says, "What must we do to teach?" And this is just phrases from the Word of God, but I'm summarizing what he said. He said, "To continue steadfastly in the apostles' doctrine, teach God's mighty works, fellowship, share God's mighty works." There's a difference there. "Breaking of bread from house to house, celebrate God's mighty works." Do you hear the building of that?
Mm-hmm.
"Prayer, seeking God's mighty works. Fear the Lord. Trust God's mighty works. Praising God. Praise God for His mighty works." Mm-hmm. So what I did is I was going through and putting their call that He gave and then showing how it builds. So it's teach, share, celebrate, seek, trust, and praise. And all of them has to do with God's mighty works, how God's at work in His kingdom and around us. Just something just for us to be pondering and thinking through. And what do you think the difference is between teaching and sharing? How is that different? When he says, "Continue steadfast in the apostles' doctrine," versus fellowship.
Well, when I think of sharing, I'm thinking of sharing my experience. And me personally.
How he's at work.
But teaching is teaching God's word.
Right. Proclaiming the actual truth.
Correct.
Mm-hmm. Yep. That's exactly it.
Because that's the best witness is ourselves.
and fellowship. What does fellowship look like for the body of Christ? What is fellowship?
I think it's time together and community. And it's not just, you know, in our westernized culture, we're like, the big church with the cross on it, that's fellowship.
Right.
It's the fellowship hall. But it's not just that. It's like they ate together. Mm-hmm. Like they did life together. The good things, the hard things, they shared everything. That's fellowship.
I like that. Mm-hmm. Doing life together. That's so true with a fellowship group.
Mm-hmm. Yep. It's being present. It's being shoulder to shoulder. It's being there when, oh my goodness, you don't look so great because you've been sick, or it's being there for the wedding and the celebration. It's all aspects of what a relationship would be.
Right.
And that's what Jesus did with the disciples for 3 years. They followed him and had him constantly teaching doctrine, but constantly also having fellowship. And having both of them. So it was a time of teaching, but it was also a time of sharing. And sharing does not necessarily mean that it has to be doctrine. Sharing can be that we're laughing today in our economy. It could be you're laughing together at a movie. It could be that you're at the park playing Frisbee. It could be anything along that lines. I like to visualize Jesus and the disciples eating fish and just laughing at each other.
Mm-hmm.
There's an artist that has great drawings of Jesus laughing, and I just think, oh, more people need to do that because he's always so serious, and I love the laughing Jesus.
So sharing an experience together.
Yeah. And
laughing's important in life.
Yes. It is. And what you just said, Carrie, just triggered for me. The Hebrew word for word, actually the word of God, it says to speak, teach, speak, write, illustrate, and experience the word of God. And if you think about it, what they have done and is listed out here, that's what they're doing. That they're having every aspect of the word of God in their experience together. And enjoying it together. And enjoying that commonness. Okay, so some of the things in fellowship that we share together in Jesus is that we share the same Lord.
Mm-hmm.
He's ours.
Mm-hmm.
We same Holy Spirit.
Mm-hmm. Yes.
Okay. We have the same love for God. We have the same love for worship. Mm-hmm. You know, being able to worship, and I have
the same call, like
completely.
That's our focus: is to worship mm-hmm. and to bring other peoples to worship
completely,
God.
Completely. We share the same struggles.
We what? May. We don't have struggles.
Who said that? Some what? Young girl?
Yeah. Don't struggle. Yeah, we struggle.
Yes,
but we also share the same victories. Mm. Being willing to laugh together, being willing to cry. The same willingness to live for Him. Okay? That desire of having our lives be for Him. And then we also share the commonality of the joy of wanting to communicate about God and His presence. So the gospel and just the joy and the beauty that gives. And some of my favorite moments with Carrie is Carrie, she will send me a text message oftentimes because she knows I'm an early riser.
Yeah.
And she will ask me some of the best questions I have ever been asked in my life. And the two of us can spend sometimes 30, 40 minutes dialoguing back and forth over the Word of God. And it's a delight. Because we have that shared desire to know the Word mm-hmm. of God and to rightly divide the Word of God. And so it's a mm-hmm. good thing, isn't
yeah,
it?
Yeah, it's great.
They're
it's
always
wonderful.
Fun.
And I love that I can think of you, too, in the morning.
Early,
in the early,
early
hours of
morning.
Morning
hours. The early morning hours. It's good. And so it's that commonality. They also continued steadfast in their prayer. So what does that mean? How are we steadfast? What does that look like? What does it look like for you? It's a struggle, I think.
It is a struggle. I think sometimes it's so hard to know what you're supposed to do, but steadfast is just kind of...
Hanging in there.
Hanging in there, yeah.
One day at a time.
Power on. You know what you need to do. You need mm-hmm. to look to the Word. You need to trust the Word. You need to remember what He's done before and just keep going.
When I think of steadfastness as like an example, I always go to Daniel because like mm-hmm. just this... consistency. He's like, mm-hmm. no matter what, I'm going to spend 3 times a day on mm-hmm. my knees in prayer to God. Mm-hmm. And, you know, he talked to God. He obviously listened to God because, like, God kept revealing Himself. He would ask a question. And then, like, the dude fasted for, like, 40 days being like, I want an answer. I want an answer on this. And so, like, just this commitment, no matter what, I'm going to spend this time, even if it's just complete silence, mm-hmm. he's ready. And this time is for mm-hmm. God.
Yeah, when it's silence, that's when he talks.
Wait. It's so painful, though, sometimes. Just like, say
it is
something.
Painful sometimes. Yeah, it's hard.
Mm. Persistence in prayer is important, mm-hmm. and persistence in studying the Word of God. And it's in our times of peace that we prepare for the struggles, and it's in our times of peace that we actually equip ourselves. We don't want to be where we're just running to the Word of God when things are hard,
yeah.
That when we have done it daily, what we will find is that the steadfastness then has laid so many truths mm-hmm. inside us, we don't waver. And that's when we are mm-hmm. able to really call upon the peace which surpasses all understanding that guards our hearts and minds in Christ Jesus, so that we're able to call out, what do I know? And I'm constantly challenging my women. It's like, focus in on what you know about the character of God. If you can't think of anything that you want to do when you're reading your Bible, all you do is, what do I learn about the Father? What do I learn about the Son? What do I learn about the Holy Spirit? If that's all you do,
you learn a lot.
you will actually find your identity and your needs met because you are in the process of knowing Him. And it's in gathering facts that you're able to build a relationship with a person. And the more facts you know about a person, the more you know their story, the more you know about them, the better you are equipped to have that relationship. And so that holding all things in common, it's the sharedness of the God story, but it's also the sharedness of our story.
Mm-hmm.
And knowing what's going on in each other's lives and being able to connect and relate and being able to cry and being able to laugh and having that shared history. My friend Tammy Day, we had taken our kids a long, long time ago when they were little peoples. And Amy, just to give you an idea, is in college. She's a freshman for her first year of college right now. And we were on our way to Adventureland, and Amy was in my car. I had all the little ones, and she had the teenagers in her car. And all of a sudden, Amy started throwing up. And she wasn't just throwing up. She was throwing up to where throw up was hitting the seat in front of me.
Yummy.
Or in front of her.
Yummy.
And I, like, dialed on my cell phone, pull over now. And she's like, I can't. We're on the freeway. And I'm like, I don't care. She's dying in my car.
Yeah.
And we pull over, and we have to get the car all cleaned out, get her all cleaned up. And it's just stinky mess. And, you know, we can't disappoint all the other kids. And we're like, what do we do? And so we pushed through, and Amy, bless her heart, stayed sick the whole day. Tammy carried her the entire day through Adventureland. And when we were done, like a week later, she said, you know, we now have history.
Yeah.
And once you have history, you're bonded
living
more.
Life together. Yeah.
And she goes, this has bonded us. And yeah. Tammy and I, to this day, will laugh about that. And that was probably actually 15 years ago. You know, it's just crazy how – like, it just does bond you. And that is what said steadfastness of holding all things in common together in that fellowship of praying with one another, allowing the word to dwell richly in us, and giving the word and giving prayer and using that amongst us and allowing it to change us.
It creates family.
Mm-hmm. It does. Mm-hmm. It does. And it's beautiful. And it's good. And asking the right questions when we need to as well. So I was telling my husband that things were different today in my class at the Open Door Mission. And he goes, well, why do you think it was different? And I just looked at him and I go, okay, Greg, I'm ashamed to say this, but I think it's because I prayed. And I pray every time I go to the mission, but I had a specific prayer.
Mm-hmm.
And so I saw a specific change because of my prayer. And we both just kind of laughed because I think sometimes we forget that. You know, every aspect of what we're doing, God cares about that and being willing to do that. Okay, so
for sure.
I want to challenge you, those that are listening, to Cultivating Hearts. We're so glad you've been listening, and we're so glad you've joined us on this series of God's Grand Narrative. It's been fun going through these 12 different narratives and seeing what God has to teach us. And if you have questions, just contact us at TaraRye.com or opendoormission.org. We want you to know that you are loved. We love you, and we thank God for you, and God loves you. God bless.